Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Well, it was quite the interesting edition of Raw on Monday night. I guess that's the nice way to put it. Michael Wiseman joined me on the podcast today. And by the way, let me get into some of the quick plugs before we get into Raw. So, of course, you can check us out online at BetweenTheRopes.com. Find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on SoundCloud as well. SoundCloud is where we're hosting our audio now. And please support us on Patreon as well. Just go to patreon.com/BetweenTheRopes. Support us. Help us keep doing this. Because somebody has to watch this show. Somebody has to watch WWE. And we're the ones that are taking the bullet for a lot of other people, I guess.
You said somebody has to watch this show. I thought you meant our show. And I was like, well, we're audio. We're not video right now.
Right.
Watch us.
So they can listen to us as we talk about Raw and WWE. And by the way, we're not going to be bitching and moaning and complaining and screaming and yelling and spitting and all of that. You know, but I can tell you that I didn't have a good experience watching Raw on Monday.
You don't speak for me.
If I want to yell, I said, did you?
If I want to yell, if I want to scream, I'm going to. Okay. By the way.
Okay.
By the way, something really strange happened last week. I know I got some tweets like, oh, where's Wiseman? So I was sitting here on Tuesday waiting for the call, and I get a phone call on Skype, right? Answer the call, right? Here we go. Talking Raw, right? Me and Brian, right? And this guy answers. He says, hello, is this Michael? I said, yes, this is Michael. This is Byron Fitz. I said, Brian? Yes, Byron Fitz. I said, okay, Brian, you don't sound like yourself today. What's going on, man? You sound, do you have a cold or something? Yes, very cold, very cold. I said, okay. You doing okay? And basically, this guy calls in. Thought it was you. We tried talking Raw. Turns out was not you. So, just wanted to get that out of the way. Somebody pretended to be you. Did a show with them instead. I don't know where it's out there. Somewhere between the popes, something else is going on. Got my Russell chat on with somebody who was apparently not you last week. Didn't really sound like you, but I gave you the benefit of the doubt. So,
Well,
I want to apologize firsthand for that.
With that impression, it sounds like they might have come from India or something. I don't know.
They also, I will tell you this, though, it was actually a really good phone call. They told me that I won Publishers Clearinghouse. Ooh. And all I had to do was send them $1,000 cashier check. And it worked out really well. I'm still waiting to get the rest of my money. They said I had to pay my taxes up front. Sent them a $1,000 cashier's check. And hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, I'll be a millionaire. So
did you give them your bank account information so they could give you like $40 million and then they could transfer it back and you could keep like $5 million of that or something?
Brian, come on. How else would they be able to send me all my money? Okay?
Exactly.
Right. So, duh.
I had somebody earlier today asking me about my thoughts on Raw. And my response to that was, so Star Wars is coming out pretty soon.
Oh, man. We're actually in the middle of a Star Wars marathon right now.
Oh, nice. I mean, are you watching all six or just the original three?
No. We're doing all six, but we're doing it this way. We're doing the new way to do it. The cool kids do it this way. We're doing episode 4, episode 5, and at the cliffhanger, we take a break to go back in time and do episodes 1, 2, and 3, and then finish off with 6.
I thought the cool way was 1, 2, 4, 3, 5, 6.
What? No. What? 1, 2, 4, 3, 5. No, what is that?
That's the way that I had heard it was
one,
now, mind you, I'm calling the original 1977 Star Wars 4. Empire Strikes Back is 5, Jedi is 6. So I had heard it was 1, 2, 4, then 3, 5, 6 was kind of the new cool way to do it.
No, because so the way it works, I heard you cut out episode 1 entirely because there's absolutely nothing of use of that movie. I mean, Darth Maul is pretty cool, right? But
right.
What I heard was the shotgun method. So you do 4 and 5 first to preserve the surprise of, spoiler alert, y'all, Darth Vader is Luke's father. What then happens is you go back in time at that cliffhanger. Once you find out that Darth Vader is Luke's father, then you go back in time.
Wait a second. Wait, spoiler alert there, buddy. You can't just be throwing that stuff out there like that.
Well, I just said spoiler alert 2 seconds ago. Did you hear that?
No.
Well, you should be listening closer. Okay. Also, 40 years, get over yourself, right? You go back in time and learn the story of Darth Vader after coming to this great revelation that Darth Vader is, in fact, Luke Skywalker's father.
Ooh.
And then you get to finish in episode 6. I mean, I think episode 5 is the best, but episode 6 is pretty good, too. So you don't have to finish with the original. You get to finish with the original trilogy, not with the prequel trilogy.
I was reading my Entertainment Weekly this week. And, you know, originally the role of Han Solo, they didn't want to give it to Harrison Ford. And or actually, no, that's not true. They didn't want to give Indiana Jones to Harrison Ford, but he, you know, eventually wanted out. But also the role of Han Solo, they were debating on who to get it. And Al Pacino originally could have gotten it, but he turned it down because he didn't understand the script.
Huh. Weird.
Al Pacino could have been
weird.
Han Solo.
I did know originally they were going to give they were going to give Indiana Jones to Tom Selleck.
Yes, it was originally Tom Selleck, but he was tied up with Magnum PI commitments that he couldn't get out of. And then finally, George Lucas gave in and he gave it to Harrison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you also know that Alec Guinness, the guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, famously wrote a letter saying that he had no idea, even while he was filming the role, basically complaining about the role, saying that it was a bunch of like gibberish, and the things he was saying didn't make much sense.
Nobody understood the script that Lucas had written because it was just in this space talk, and they're like, I don't know what the hell this is. This is going to flop. And the only reason they had Alec Guinness on there was because they had all these young, impressionable actors, and they were worried about them, so they decided to bring in Alec, who had already been nominated or had won an Academy Award already, and they wanted a veteran of the business there. So like when they were filming in Tunisia, and it was like 108 degrees, and everybody wanted to complain, he was professional enough to not complain and kind of kept everybody else in check.
Right. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay, let's get in the raw. Enough Star Wars
and that's,
talk.
Well, that's more time than we'll devote to TNA all week. So.
That's true. So, yeah, Raw has found this nasty groove where it's just not good. And we could sit here and we could talk about the talent that's on there. And, you know, some people don't like Sheamus or they don't like Roman Reigns or whoever they don't like. But I think that this is telling the tale of WWE creative from a standpoint of how many times have we talked about the booking? When you're talking about 50-50 booking, when you talk about parity booking, and you're not taking care of the guys in the mid-card, you're not allowing people to develop their character, they don't get an opportunity to talk, nobody gets over, and they're just stuck in that mid-card hell. And then you get put in a position like this where you've got injuries and you've got a guy like John Cena that's out working on another project for a little while. Brock Lesnar is, you know, in his normal time off because he's only a part-time guy. When all this comes to roost, and then now you've got this problem because you don't have these characters that are over. And I would even say that this was one of the problems that we've seen so many times at other companies where it's TNA or WCW, that you've always got to protect your mid-card. Even if the top of your card is strong and you're a healthy company, because you always want to have guys that are ready to step in to take that next step and make sure that they're, you know, so that way you have these fresh new storylines when it's time to kind of cycle guys in and out of different positions. And because WWE hasn't done that, now you compound that with the injuries and this is what we're getting. And they're not coming up with anything creatively and they haven't protected their guys. And so people don't like them, and you're seeing stuff just kind of thrown up against the wall now.
My favorite thing was right before the show this week, there were reports coming out Monday that WWE had done this survey of NXT fans, of like the WWE ambassadors, basically, asking them why they liked NXT, why there was such a following around it. And they took all these notes and they were saying, you know, rumors are popping up. They're going to change Raw tonight. They're going to take it in a new direction. They're going to really be tweaking the format to reflect some of the things that are happening in NXT. And you get to Monday Night Raw And it's pretty much the exact same thing it's been for the last 3 weeks. We open up the show with a 20-man four-way tag team hoorah hoorah Teddy Long special, right?
It was a 16-man, but yeah. But, well, here's the thing, too. How many times have we complained about the long talking segments, okay? That's how they opened the show, which led to that big hoorah, hoorah match that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But we've complained, so many people have complained about the long talking segments. It just don't work.
Right.
Especially when you don't have Stone Cold Steve Austin, you don't have The Rock, you don't have Mick Foley, you don't have Vince McMahon, you don't have Dusty Rhodes, you don't have superstar Billy Graham, you don't have these great talkers that are going to be there.
And they're overscripted. I mean, yeah. I mean, the part of it too is they're all overscripted. Okay, we're beating the same dead horse here, right? But they're overscripted to the point where they can't be authentic and make that authentic connection.
Absolutely. But you don't have great talkers, and then you put in these long segments that, like you said, are regimented, and they didn't just do it once on Raw this week. Oh, no. They didn't just do it twice. They did it four times. Four times they did it on the show, because they did it with the opening segment. They did it in the final segment, which made the first segment look like Masterpiece Theater. They did it with Charlotte and Paige and Flair. And then they did it with the New Day, who they're just overexposing. And plus, mm-hmm. when you've got a bad show that nobody's into, and it's not, you know, things aren't really popping, things aren't clicking, and then you put on there a comedy act that's supposed to be heels, it just dies a slow death.
Yep. I agree.
And it was tough. I mean, there was just things, you know, I know they're trying to build a TLC, and people are going to rail on, you know, Sheamus and Reigns. And the thing that gets to me is, you know, they're not the best talkers. So one, why are you scripting this so much? And why are you putting them in this position to where they've got to talk for a long time? It just, and there was a segment that they did with Reigns even, you know, backstage in the middle of the show where he had to talk. It's just like, you know what? You've got to keep it short. Same with Sheamus. I think you just got to keep it short, to the point. Let it be ass kickers. Let their actions speak for, you know, do their speaking for them. And I think you even see it too with both of them, but especially with Sheamus on that show where they're given so much content and they know it's bad. And then they're going out there and they're trying to make it work, but you could tell there's a little bit of hesitation because they just don't believe in this hot mess that's been handed to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. You know, I'm going to change things up on you a little bit here. I was just reading this great story. You got me on this Star Wars tangent, and I know we got to talk about Raw. I know we got to get back to Raw, but I gotta tell you the story that I've found. In the final volume of the book, A Positively Final Appearance, Guinness recounts grudgingly giving an autograph to a young fan who claims to have watched Star Wars over 100 times on the condition that the boy promised to stop watching the film because, as Guinness told him, this is going to be an ill effect on your life.
Mm.
Guinness's quote is quoted as saying, "Well, I said, do you think you could promise never to see Star Wars again?" He burst into tears. His mother drew herself up to an immense height. "What a dreadful thing to say to a child," she barked, and dragged the poor kid away. Guinness grew so tired of modern audiences apparently knowing him only for his role of Obi-Wan Kenobi that he would throw away the mail he received from Star Wars fans without receiving it. There you go.
That's not fun. I don't want to remember Obi-Wan like that.
Yeah, he's a grumpy old man. That's what I do. All my fans write mail in. I shred it up, toss it in the shredder, feed it to my cats.
By the way,
thing.
I am not that fan that approached him that's seen it over 100 times. But I will say I've probably seen Star Wars in the 60 to 75 range.
Wow. That's a lot more than me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like some Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. But 60 to 75, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, because I go out of my way to watch it once a year. And then there's some years where I've seen it twice, especially like if it's on TV. But I won't count it unless I watch like at least like 3/4 of the movie.
Have you watched it this year?
No, but I did that on purpose. I've stayed away.
Are you going to watch it before the new one comes out?
Absolutely.
So you have a week and a half?
Yeah. So this weekend.
Are you going to watch all six? What's your order?
No, I'm just watching the original three.
Do what?
I'm just watching the original three. The other three, they're like Rocky V or Indiana Jones to me. They didn't happen. Well, the third one was pretty good. They just packed too much stuff into it, so I don't mind watching that one, but I won't. I'll just watch the original three.
Did you watch that new Rocky movie?
Creed was awesome. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God, is that a good movie.
I mean, that's up there. One of my favorite movies of the year so far.
Sylvester Stallone is going to win an Oscar.
I hope so. He deserves it. He deserves it for the original Rocky. He deserves it for this one as well.
That's incredible. The original Rocky won Best Picture in 1977, I want to say.
Yeah.
You know what beat out All the President's Men?
Did it?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was another movie that... I got to find this now. There was another movie you'd be like, holy crap, how the hell did it win? I think it was that year, though. Hold on. I'll tell you. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so here's what it beat. Rocky beat All the President's Men, Bound for Glory. Whoa, that's where TNA got the name of that pay-per-view. It beat Network, and it beat, believe it or not, Taxi Driver.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Anyway, now that we're way far off the beaten path.
We're way off the beaten path, man. Sometimes you got to go there, though. Do you know that Burgess Meredith was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in his role as Mickey?
Really? Did not know that.
You know what Mickey's last name was?
No.
Goldmill.
Is that from something?
No. Do you know that Burt Young, a.k.a. Pauly, was also nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year?
Huh.
For basically being a racist and throwing a turkey at his sister?
Right. Exactly.
You know his last name? Pauly Panino. I had no idea that Adrian's last name was Panino originally.
Huh. I didn't either. That's crazy.
There we go. Now we're really off the beaten path.
Speaking of Raw.
But I mean, there's just so many different things that I think that WWE is making it a lot harder for themselves than they need to. And the thing is, too, it's when I talk about overall creative direction, they've screwed up when it comes to protecting their guys to where now it's not like something where, okay, we're going to change our creative direction and just like, oh, next week it'll be better. I mean, yes, you need to do that, but it's not like it's an overnight fix. This is a foundational problem when it comes to their characters and protecting the talent better. And they need to do that. They do need to make some other tweaks to the show. I mean, Raw's been on the air for how many years, and when was the last time we saw any kind of major change to it, to the format? So they need to do this. But they've got to start taking these steps to take care of their talent and protecting them a lot better when it comes to the way that they book. But it's not an overnight fix. I mean, this is something that I don't know if they could really get it fixed before Mania. The only reason that they possibly can to some extent is because people get excited about WrestleMania season. People get excited about WrestleMania. But it just as easily could fall back into this rut right after Mania. So it's not like, okay, well, WrestleMania is going to fix it all. That could be just a week or two kind of escapism from what's been going on. And then it just goes back in this rut.
I think the problems that WWE is facing right now are very systemic problems. They're problems that have come from, we said this before, from going public, from being focused on being a broader entertainment entity and not just a wrestling business. And just creative problems, problems of control, of just controlling things to the point where everything is so prescribed that there's no freedom. There's no genuine artistry to some of the things that are happening. And all of these are very systemic problems. So to change it, it's going to require some upheaval. And the reason something like NXT has been so successful is not because it's doing one or two things right or one or two things different. It's because that NXT as a product was able to grow and shape itself outside of the constraints of all those things the main WWE brand and WWE product is facing. And I think what really needs to happen is you need some fresh eyes on the product and some fresh recommendations and some fresh suggestions on how to just restructure all of this. And I'm not saying, oh, get rid of Vince McMahon, it's time to hire somebody else to do all this. But it would be great for him to have somebody else here who's experienced with the business, who can offer up something, and for Vince McMahon to genuinely take what they have to say. Somebody who's an expert. I mean, Paul Heyman obviously is the ideal candidate. Bring Jim Ross back in. Somebody who's got a different perspective on how to drive this train, and give them the floor and let them make some suggestions on how to tweak and change this product. Because right now, I mean, you mentioned this to me before the show came on. They just scored a couple of other really big sponsorships. But again, if their focus is on business and not on the creative content, what's going to happen is this downward trend from fans, and that's not good for wrestling as a whole.
Yeah, that's the problem, because they can sit there and say, well, ratings don't mean what they used to, but you've got to have more people watching the product. You got more eyeballs right on the content, and that's where it's really going to come to affect you. And you're going to start seeing that snowball when it comes to live attendance and when it comes to network subscriptions if you turn people off the product because they don't like the creative direction that it's gone.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that like that's what you run the risk of. It's great if you got all your business financials in place. I think the network is a great plan. But what we're having now is that WWE has become a one-trick pony where you tune in. This is what we're afraid of, right? You tune in for the big shows, and even those have become very routine. And you kind of let the stuff in between Raw, SmackDown, anything else they put out during the week. Just, well, if you catch it, that's great. If you miss part of it, oh, well, catch the clips, read a few posts, but don't think about it. It's not a lifestyle anymore like it used to be.
Right. And that is pretty amazing. And I give them a lot of credit for getting those sponsorships because we've seen K Jewelers ads on TV and on the network. And then also the Slammies are going to be promoted, or they're sponsored by Coca-Cola. Which they've never gotten a major soft drink brand. I mean, they've gotten, I think they've gotten Mountain Dew before. But, I mean, just to have Coca-Cola as a brand overall, yeah, that's a pretty big get. But
well, but it's like this. We talked about the NFL game overseas and how much of a joke of a game that was.
Yeah.
But WWE wants to be the NFL or the NBA so bad. And I think there's that potential there. But WWE also wants to be the company that makes movies, and it also wants to be the company that it does all these other secondary products that are focused, or it wants to be the company that puts on Total Divas, and it wants to be the company that does all these secondary things that don't relate to the product. And here's what the NFL does really well. The NFL dominates TV, right? But what they give us are compelling characters, the coaches and the star players. They give us things related to their main product, i.e. football, that enhance it. So they give us these shows on the networks that really break down the competitive nature and predict who's going to win. And they market these things as being really meaningful. Every game feels so meaningful. There's a backstory, and there's this whole machine that goes into producing this great overall product. What WWE has is got a lot of these things ready. It's got the marketing arm that could do this if they really focus. It's got characters that they could really breathe some life into with the right approach. And then it seems like they take this really just half-hearted attempt at the execution phase. Now, their marketing is great. Their branding looks fantastic. But they spread themselves really thin, and they don't focus on their core product like the NFL does. At the end of the day, the NFL comes down to what happens on Sundays, what happens on the football field, what happens on Monday Night Football, right? What happens between two teams, who's winning the playoffs. – But the WWE just glazes over that component. Sure, they give us some great matches, but there's not the compelling story behind it, behind every match, that really makes it matter. And I think that's what they're missing right now, that they really need to find a way to focus back in on that. Characters, story, that element of, I want to watch this because it means something, not just, well, wrestling's on, now I want to get my wrestling fixed for the week.
Yeah, and it's funny because you talk about, you know, would they be open to having some other people come in and kind of critique the product? But, I mean, how many times, I mean, this is a big thing that just happened not too long ago, just the last couple of weeks, about Mick Foley and Steve Austin both critiquing it. And Mick was on Steve's podcast, and they kind of broke it down and just talking about what's going on here with this, you know. It shouldn't be this difficult. And it's a lot of the same points that you and I have made and other people have made. And if you have guys like that that are critiquing the product like this, then I think you know something is wrong, because it's not like they're wrestling fans. There are stars in the business, but they're wrestling fans. They're not like, you know, these old bitter, you know, guys that were in the business and are pissed off and they've got a grudge against Vince McMahon. I mean, that's not those guys at all. They still want to be wrestling fans. They still want to enjoy it. But
They're not CM Punk.
Right, you know, and hell, you know, Mick even tells a story about, you know, how when he believes the Attitude Era began, and he thought it was when Vince McMahon pulled aside a lot of the talent and said, guys, what we're doing is just not working. We've got to do something different. Well, what they're doing right now is not working, and they need to do something different. So they need to look at it. They need to take a hard look up and down and say, we've got to make some changes to our presentation, to our approach, all these different things. And all ideas need to be on the table. It doesn't mean we implement them, but obviously we need to vet them. We need to go through. We need to have different people bouncing, you know, ideas off one another. And another thing is, too, quite honestly, they need to trim down that creative team. They need to pick out the people that they feel are the most important members of that team, that they value their opinions of the most. Keep them. Get rid of the others. I don't like to see anybody lose their job, but there's too many people on that creative team. Get it down to, I don't know, 5, 6 at the most, probably. Plus, you've got Vince and some other people. And just, you know what, value everybody's opinions and figure out what you could do that's different.
Well, then the solution to that is to people don't have to lose their jobs. What would make the most sense is you break these teams off for different shows, right? What we have right now is this general WWE creative team that's kind of running these different things. And,
but I don't even know if you can do that, considering that it's not a different, it's not two different brands. It's not like Raw and SmackDown have different talent. They're all using the same talent.
Well, that would be my other suggestion, would be to give different brand extensions. I mean, you know, let's go back to the brand extension days. I think that could work.
Maybe. I mean, that was something that I didn't like for a long time, but now you almost wonder, like, maybe that it was, you know, better, because you're already talking about 3 hours on Monday, which is long. 2 hours for SmackDown, you know, that's a normal, you know, time period. But when you pack it all together, that's 5 hours. Yep. And now there's talk about more synergy between the two shows, because SmackDown, in case you didn't notice this watching Raw, it's on the move to the USA Network come January 7th. With all the campy, weird, strange office promos that they did last night, talking about, including Roman Reigns sitting down on the floor, putting together boxes, and then getting frustrated and just rips open a box.
It was weird. It was weird. But I just think you're overexposing all of these guys who you want to be stars, and you're not giving the guys the chance to earn a spot who can be stars.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, We sit here and we complain about the format. Why are they still doing these long talking segments? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't be doing them even if you had a really good talker.
Right. Even, yeah, you got to limit your exposure to these guys so they still feel fresh to fans.
And you don't have that really good talker. The best talker that they have on the roster right now is John Cena, and he's not there right now. Well, when you're coming to active wrestlers, the best talker actually is Paul Heyman. But, hell, you know, your best guys, maybe they get 8-minute segments to talk, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a long segment, but I'm still a big proponent of letting other people that normally do not get a chance to talk, letting them talk, so we can get to know their characters and their personalities a lot more. I don't know if that's in the ring, on the top of the ramp with the announcers, in a backstage segment, if you're bringing back like the old Mean Gene kind of segments where guys are off on the side, let's talk, blah, 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 whether that's out in front of the audience or it's backstage, it's something. But there's so many different people that don't get an opportunity to talk, and I'll scream this on my soapbox till my dying days. Wins and losses matter. Wins and losses matter. Stop the parody booking, protect these guys, and do that.
It's the thing that TNA managed to figure out at one point before they screwed it up, right? Which was the Bound for Glory series, which was this whole 2 or 3 month experience where you'd tune into a show and those top 15 guys had matches that mattered because their record was being counted. And if they lost, they'd drop in the rankings. And these guys wanted to be in the top 4 to be a part of this tournament so they could earn a title shot. That made the matches on weekly television matter. It made the wins and losses records overall matter. And it made this championship feel important because these guys had to really fight and claw for it. They didn't just come out on a Monday night and win a battle royal. They had to fight for 3 weeks, for 4 weeks, for 2 months to get this title shot. So I think you could go back to something like that. I think TNA was onto something there. But when you have wins and losses not mattering and that you're literally only watching wrestling, we've had some great matches. But after a while, great matches and avoid don't mean anything. And then that's what we're kind of running into right now.
And the funny thing is, too, so on the show on Monday, you know, we could sit there and we could talk about that hodgepodge 16-man, you know, fatal four-way that they started. By the end of it, it was pretty hot. So it wasn't a bad match by any stretch. Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens had a good match that went about almost 20 minutes, believe it or not. That was actually pretty darn good, too. I think the finish just kind of came out of nowhere to surprise some people. And I don't know why Tyler Breeze was there at ringside in his VIP section when he didn't even get involved, but he was there for some reason. But outside of that, that was like the only good wrestling on this show.
Yeah.
Like you had this women's tag match, which was nothing special. The tag match between Kofi and Big E against the Lucha Dragons, that was fine, but there was nothing special there. Ryback against Rusev, I thought that was moving in slow motion. I thought I had like hit something on my TV to where I'd slowed it down, and I thought I needed to hit normal speed. And come to find out, I was watching it in regular time. So that was slow moving. And then we got to see Ryback and Lana make out some more, which the way they killed Rusev is epic. Just epic. Swagger and Stardust, we didn't even get to see the beginning of the match because you come back from break. And not only is it like they're both standing in the ring and they're getting ready to start the match and we just missed their intros. No, no, no. We've missed like half the match at this point. Okay. And then they did. Oh, my God. I can't believe. What year is this, Michael? Seriously, please. Indulge
me. It's 2015, right?
Yes.
We're a big happy world. Right. This is a global community we're a part of. Right.
But I just want to point this out. In the year 2015, they had a match between Braun Strowman and Tommy Dreamer. And get this. It was basically in the main event slot. It was the final match on the show. I mean, this thing ended, and it was almost 11 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you sit on the whole ECW nostalgia with the Dudleys, Rhino, and Dreamer?
Been there, done that, and I don't need to go back.
Thank you.
I think it's great that ECW was a thing 25 years ago, 20 years ago.
Went out of business in 2001.
Okay, so 15 years ago, it was a thing that was important.
But it's been 20 years since its heyday.
But exactly. And the thing about it is it kind of flamed out. Like it didn't like burst out. It just kind of like eventually went away. And so I guess we have an audience who loved ECW at one point, but they're kind of aging up. And we have new fans who don't even know what ECW was outside of a small blurb that was mentioned in that series in WWE Network. So why are we focused on this as being a thing? And Tommy Dreamer, I thought he's had his like 5 retirement matches already. Is that...
I don't know. I mean, it's not Terry Funk-esque, but it's getting there. I mean, God bless Tommy. And I know Tommy a little bit, and Tommy is a super nice guy. But it's just like, does he have pictures of Vince McMahon or something that I don't know about? I mean, why does Tommy Dreamer keep getting brought back? Why does the ECW act keep getting brought back? Now, I will sit here and defend the Dudleys coming back, because I can sit there and say, yes, you could bring back the Dudleys because you want a veteran team in the tag team ranks. They can work with other guys. They'll put over other guys. They're still over as an act. And you don't have to bring up, I'm getting all choked up about this, but you don't have to bring up the ECW nostalgia part of it.
Right. Are you okay? Are you dying? Come to Florida.
I'm still kind of getting over this cold that I've had for a little while. The more I talk, the more it makes me cough. So
I know CPR. I can eat it.
The epic cough is back that I've had before. But
staying alive. I got to do it to that rhythm, and it will keep you alive until... See, that's why it's staying alive, because it keeps you alive.
But the thing, the Dudleys are fine, but then once you put Dreamer there, and once you put Rhino there, and you start talking about the extreme act, and you start bringing up ECW, to me, that just ruins the Dudleys. It makes me feel like they're old. Like,
yeah,
this is a dinosaur act at this point. Like, I wasn't thinking that before, but then once I bring up all of the nostalgia around it by doing this group, then I start thinking that, and I'm like, it makes sense for the storyline. I will give them that, but that doesn't mean they should have gone there. And I get the sense that even though on TLC they're doing this 4-on-4 match between the Extreme Team or whatever they're called against the Wyatt family, but don't you get this feeling that Dreamer and Rhino are going to be around longer than that?
Yeah, I do. And I guess my big thing on it too is that the Dudleys have evolved beyond being an ECW sideshow. So the Dudleys came into WWE after ECW and established a brand new career for themselves. That was Extreme, right? Get the tables. But they managed to increase their brand beyond being ECW throwbacks. And then they went to TNA and managed to do more and had some great matches with young talent over there. And then Bubba Ray went into this Bully Ray gimmick that was fantastic. I mean, he was a great heel. And to regress all the way back to 1997 for a little bit of nostalgia, to get a little bit of a nostalgia spike or whatever, just so we can have somebody to feud with the Wyatt family, I disagree with that because I think it undermines all the good work they've done since leaving ECW. ECW was great, but they did some great things after that.
But ECW is over. I mean,
exactly.
How many times do we sit there and say, well, let's do a nostalgia act with ECW? I mean, to me, that is the kiss of death once you start doing that, because we've seen it so many times, time and time and time again. I'm like, let's not go that direction. Let's not do that. And by the way, this is what they have to do to try to get a win. And I assume they're going to win, but I could be wrong. But this is what you have to do to try to get a win or try to get the Wyatt family back on track, is by bringing back a nostalgia act for them to get a win on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I'm like, oh, boy, man, come on.
I do love seeing Sheamus as the champion, and everybody else hates him. I kind of dig it. I really hate that the way they're giving him cheap heat is because he's a foreigner, and it's this whole, oh, look, we're all foreigners, and we don't, you know, we couldn't find Americans that were good enough, Americans, and then there's just like this USA animosity because they're not from America, and I think that's a really cheap way and a really old-school way to get heat. I think it might jive with Vince McMahon's best friend, Donald Trump's way of getting heat.
I don't even know if Vince wants to pair up with the Trump, man. Even the rest of his party is getting away
Donald
from him.
Donald Trump, listen, he's writing this thing out. He's a master marketer. This guy knows what he's doing. He's making as many bold statements as he can simply because he can, and he keeps his name in the press. Donald Trump knows exactly what he's doing. He's a smart guy.
Everybody in the Republican Party is freaking slamming him today because he wants a complete shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S. Dick Cheney even slammed him. I mean, freaking Darth Vader himself said, I am not standing by this guy. Okay.
Yep. He is crazy, crazy, crazy.
And when he did it, he did it like the Penguin. I don't like Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is crazy, 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 and I would not vote for him. Right. But I think he's in on the gig. I think he knows what he's doing.
I don't know if he does anymore. And by the way, you mentioned Sheamus, and I get where they're going with having Sheamus as the champion. They're putting him in a position though where he cannot succeed because of these long segments of him talking, which we're not used to at all. The crowd isn't reacting, and he's out there dying, and then. Yeah. As if people don't like Roman Reigns enough already, as they try to force feed him down everybody's throat as like this, you know, ultimate baby face that we should all get behind and, oh, we want to see him win the championship. And they're hurting Roman. Then they give him these lines where he's got to refer to Sheamus's junk as tater tots. Come on. And then the people there in Charleston, shame on you, Charleston, for chanting tater tots. Come on.
Yep. I know.
That's why you live in North Carolina, and that's in South Carolina.
Yep, that's right. South Carolina, they're not – people down in South Carolina are not civilized like us North Carolinians are.
I understand that, why you don't like it when I say the Carolinas. When you're in the – I go, you're up in Carolina. You want some separation there.
We need separation. We're already close enough. I mean, there's those South Carolinians, though, oof, rough bunch.
My God. Did they even get Cheerwine there or not?
Not who knows. It's Mad Max land down there.
It's Mad Max. Oh, what a pretty day it is! A pretty day. Oh, Howie Mandel is going to be on the Tribute to the Troops, though. So it's all better.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting! I know. Woo. Was that pretty good? I would appreciate
that. Pretty good. Considering I brought up before we did the show, and I said I'm giving up our best material. I was like, you better pop for that.
Man, I bet they made him a deal he couldn't refuse. Get it?
Well, I know. But the unfortunate thing is it was in Jacksonville that he had to go to. Oh, God. Jacksonville. Even the NFL doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeesh.
But, yeah, Raw, I mean, we're not going to break down every little segment. I just don't want to do that. But it's just lacking right now. Let me bring up two other things. Okay, so one, at least they got Del Rio away from Zeb Coulter, which to me never fit.
I liked it.
I mean, it just the whole Mex America thing was bad. And then, like, out of nowhere, poor Del Rio is in the League of Nations, and he's just kind of like, I'm going to be the guy that stands here with a great tan as everybody else from the UK is pale as anything. Well, but there's Rusa, but I mean, two of the guys are pale, you know, and Barrett and Sheamus. So you got that. And I equated last night, I was doing this live blog for Sporting News of the show. And when Zeb got yelled at by Del Rio and then rode off in his scooter in the back, I equated that to like the end of the old episodes of The Incredible Hulk. And Dr. Dave Banner would just and he'd just walk off and he'd be looking to hitchhike and go to the next city where he would ruin half of it by turning into the Hulk.
Yes, exactly.
So you had that. And then you had this, as if 1 week was not enough, but they brought it back. The Adam Rose Bush segment, which makes the Miz TV look good.
Yeah, Miz TV is okay. It's got its moments.
You didn't like did you like it this week where he was like, "Come on, Charlotte, you got to give me some more dirt. Come on, you got Paige said things about your family. Give me some dirt." And just, you're just doing this because I'm a woman. You know, I feel bad for your wife. Give me some dirt.
Yeah, that was a little bit forced.
So Charlotte was all smiley and happy. And crying because she was so happy, and then crying because her deceased younger brother got brought up in a storyline by Paige. So all this has been going on over the past month or so. And then suddenly WWE says, well, one, we don't want to say we were wrong in doing that storyline, but let's just not bring it up again. Because that was probably bad, and we got some bad feedback about that. Oh, and by the way, since it didn't really work the way we wanted, and now we realize that Charlotte, you know, in thinking about her time at NXT where she was actually really good as a heel, let's turn her heel out of nowhere. Okay, sure, why not?
Yep.
I'll give you one other takeaway from the show.
Okay.
I wonder if WWE is talking about, you know, instituting changes because they've done this before, and I'm not a big proponent of it. You know, they like to have these shades of gray. There's no longer good guys and bad guys kind of stuff, right? So what did they do in the opening segment? The League of Nations is out there. They're talking and they got interrupted by the Wyatt family who are supposed to be heels. So everybody out there is supposed to be heels, but the Wyatt family gets cheered a little bit. So that's kind of shades of gray right there, right?
Yeah.
You do the Paige Charlotte thing where Paige has said some bad things, but now Charlotte's got an attitude. Kind of shades of gray stuff there, too. Plus, Charlotte's just following in the footsteps of her beloved dad, who is the dirtiest player in the game. Then you had this incident, too, which was really strange. Okay, so we know Titus O'Neil and Stardust kind of have this weird little feud going on. So Titus O'Neil is joining the announcers as Jack Swagger's taking on Stardust. And then also early on that match, Del Rio and Coulter come down to ringside. Swagger wins the match, immediately gets attacked by Del Rio, and then Stardust is going to attack Del Rio from behind, but before he does, babyface Titus O'Neil stands up from the announcer's area and yells to heel Alberto Del Rio of the League of Nations, watch your back, look out! Because he hates Stardust so much, apparently. And Del Rio thwarts the attack from the Painted Man, which I can't explain that.
I mean, I kind of agree.
It was just a really, really weird show. As weird as it was like going along okay for the first couple of hours. And then that third hour hit. And once again, it was just like, slam on the brakes.
Yep.
And I was like, yep. Whoa, where's this coming from? So, yeah, it was a weird night overall. And I'm looking for the ratings. Oh, here we go. Ratings are out.
All right. Breaking news. Hit the breaking news music, Brian. Hit the music. No, the other one. The other music. It's like a little typewriter sound in the background. Breaking news.
Yeah. Okay.
Headquarters.
Would you like to guess how many viewers the show did?
Is this over under?
Well, okay. So last week they did 3.168 million average. Okay.
I bet they were under three. 2.9.
Incorrect.
Woo. Okay.
They did 3.054. So they were down on average 114,000.
Okay.
First hour of Raw did 3.27 million viewers. Second hour drew 3.042, which means they dropped 228,000. The final hour, 2.85 million viewers. That's not good for your main event going into your pay-per-view.
Mm.
What turned them off the most? Was it Tommy Dreamer and Braun Strowman? No, that was late in the hour. It couldn't have been that.
They wanted to see the end of that Cowboys-Redskins game.
I saw the end of that game, and I watched all of Raw first.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. They were just really interested in what else comes on Monday nights. The Voice?
Voice. Fargo is on. Mm-hmm. Fargo is the best show on TV right now. But what time's Fargo on, though? Is that a 9 or 10?
So it's on at 10. Been, it's yeah, on at 10.
It would have been over. You know?
Do you really think there's a huge overlap in the Fargo WWE audience?
No.
I feel like we're the minority in this one.
Mind you, I'll admit this right now. I'm probably the only person that watches both Raw and Major Crimes on TNT, okay?
You're probably the only person who watches – there's like these concentric circles, and you got one Raw, that's you're in that one. Major Crimes, you're in that one. Blue Bloods, you're in that
one. I am not in that, but I will
– Longmire, you're up
here. I do love me some Longmire. I will admit this, though.
Wheelchair Club over here, you're in that one.
Let me bring this one up because you're going to laugh your ass off about this.
Okay.
So you having Netflix like I do,
sure.
When you bring up Netflix, it will say recommended shows, right?
Yes.
Based on your viewing habits of other things that you watch on there. And they are recommending Blue Bloods for me.
That's awesome.
I have never watched Blue Bloods, and I do not plan on watching Blue Bloods. But it's been recommended to me by the fine folks in Netflix because of other shows I watch.
That's awesome.
And most of I'm dying over here. And most recently, I watched the British show Luther, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We've done the first season of that.
Oh, my God. Dude, the first season, 6 episodes. Seasons 2 and 3 are only 4 episodes each. I breezed through all of that in a weekend. And then coming out the same night as Star Wars, to bring the conversation full circle, Thursday, December 17th, BBC America, a special 2 hours of Luther.
Really?
Yes. They filmed 2 new episodes. They're going to air them back to back on BBC America. I believe that's the night's on. It's December 17th. And it's got some of the new cast members from and they were in Game of Thrones are going to be.
Oh,
out there.
Wow. In case you guys can't tell, we're really interested in doing cheap pups, probably more so than Raw at this very given moment.
Are you kidding me? did I tell you that Star Wars is almost here?
We got to roll out some best of. We got, you know, about 3 more weeks. This we'll do a best of cheap pops, best of wrestling. Well, that's going to be a very short show. Best of.
There's a lot of movies that are coming out this time of the year, which really pisses me off from a standpoint that, like, up until this point, like, I think the spring was okay, the summer sucked, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and now it's like this big dump where all the movies come out at one time, like, all right, let's unleash them, because they want everything out for, you know, Oscar season, which I just hate. I'm just like, can't we spread this out a little bit more?
Yeah, I agree. But there were some good movies this year. That last Hunger Games movie was it was meh.
I tried to tell that to my wife. I was like, it's okay, and she's just like, no, it was good. And I'm like, well, you're too close to it.
Yeah,
she's a big fan of that. Yeah, I mean, some it's good, but
gaps in logic in that movie.
Let's see what else happened this week in the wrestling. Oh, Jim Ross is still alive, everybody. I want to point that out. So somebody hacked his Twitter account and said he was dead.
Oh, God. That's bad.
Yeah. And he's pissed off about it. He had to go. I get these updates on my phone on Twitter, and it says, your friend Jim Ross is now on Twitter. And it's like a different Twitter account that he's using until he gets this other one started up. Plus, he put there on Facebook and on his blog how pissed off he is and how, karma is a bitch, basically, for the person that hacked his account.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. This fake Jim Ross statement. We are shocked and saddened to bring you the news that Jim Ross has sadly passed away. Longtime friend White Lead Site was with him at the time of his passing, and it was said to be very peaceful. We'll be making a further statement shortly.
Yeah, he's alive. That's the statement.
Breaking news. Jim Ross, still alive.
Yeah. So TLC is on Sunday, and if you want to, you could stay up after that show, and you can watch the latest Stone Cold podcast on WWE Network.
Another live podcast. I'm so excited.
It's not live.
Yeah, live. They're all live.
It's this conversation with Shawn Michaels, but it's taped.
What do you mean it's taped? How do they tape it if it's after the show? Like, they do it right after the show?
They're airing it after the
show.
There's
like a little studio at the back, right?
It's already done. They taped it. They taped it weeks ago.
Then why am I going to watch it now?
Because we've never seen it before. It's the first time they're airing it.
So is it still going to – but nobody's seen it, right? So, like, nobody's been able to edit it or cut out any of the good stuff that –
That's a very good question. I don't know if they've done that or not. They could – like, they start going in one spot, and the next thing you know, it's like the graphic comes up, and it says, we're experiencing technical difficulties, and it's like
– Every time they mention Cesaro, it just cuts away.
Yeah, every time, you know, it's just like – They start playing like Swiss music in the background, like from the Mountain Climber game from The Price is Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's it. That's it.
But we're getting that. I don't know. I hope they haven't edited, quite honestly. I mean, there's certain places where Austin's told not to go, but I don't.
He does it anyway. He's his own man.
Sure. Why not?
Shameless 515 says.
Yeah. I just ruined your show.
Oh, come on now. We like Sheamus.
I do, but...
He's one of the good guys.
He is, but man, it's just killing me right now. It's killing me what WWE is doing to him. They should have never put him in this position. Like, they should have kept him a lot stronger. He had money in the bank. They should have done a lot more character development. They should have kept him hotter. And then when this happened, you know, I mean, it was going to happen with him anyway from a standpoint he was going to cash in that money in the bank. I'm not saying he was going to win, but you had that sitting there lingering, and he was just like in the back burner. You know, they were teaming him up with Barrett, who hadn't won a match since, I don't know, last year at this time. You know, he's won like two matches this year. That's it. Something like that. It's crazy. So we got TLC on Sunday. They've only announced six matches. I think they might add one more match, maybe two. Maybe two. But we can run them down real quick. Give some predictions.
Let's do it. Okay. I'm ready.
So we've got a chairs match for the United States Championship, Del Rio against Jack Swagger. These poor bastards drew the short straw and had to do the chairs match. Del Rio's got to win this, right?
Yes, I would think so.
Will we see Jack Swagger on WWE television? And by that, I mean Raw or SmackDown within the next month following this match?
No.
He's going to go back into hibernation?
It's going to be a flag match. They're going to make it a flag match.
They should.
Chairs. Flag match.
Just play off that what happened down in Puerto Rico where Del Rio got attacked by a fan over the weekend.
Probably should not play off of that. Okay, no laughing matter. No laughing matter.
By the way, I'm not saying it is, but I saw that, and it looked like a work. I'm not saying that it is, so I don't want anybody to take it out of context, but the guy, like, grabbed him and, like, started, like, hitting him, like, on the, you know, between his shoulder blades, like you would if you were a wrestler.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was punching him in the face. And I was like, is this guy like trying to get involved in an angle with Del Rio here or something? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, I saw that clip too.
Really strange.
It was strange. So people love their wrestling though.
They do down there, man. So then we get the Wyatt family against the Extreme Team, 8-man tag team elimination tables match. So it's just until the last person standing. So seven people have to go through a table.
I guess.
God, I don't know.
That's weird.
You better make
That's
sure they weird. Got enough tables there, man.
I don't think there's any concern about that. They like stack them up the sides.
So the Wyatts have to win this, right?
I would think so. I would bet my money on it because they need a win desperately. But if in classic booking, you would have the baby faces come through in this match.
Do you think that WWE is building up Braun Strowman for a match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania?
No, because they can't be that short.
Are you sure?
They're not that short. They're good.
Vince McMahon loves his Giant on Giant match.
Bah, I love Giants. Bah, put that on my profile. Bah.
Yeah. Hey, he loves those, man. We all know that. He's wondering where Sid Vicious is right now. Sid, stop playing softball. I got a booking for you.
Sid Vicious.
Hey, man, he had him in the main event of a WrestleMania, okay? I'm just going to warn you.
Oh, gosh.
Against Hulk Hogan. Charlotte against Paige for the Divas Championship. Charlotte's got to cheat the win, right?
Yep.
She's got to cheat the win.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the New Day against the Usos against Lucha Dragons. Ladder match for the tag team titles. These guys are going to kill each other out there.
Yeah.
They're going to kill each other.
Yep.
I hope they at least get some heat.
New Day. New Day?
I'm going to say the Usos.
New Day?
I'll say the Usos. By the way, not that we're... I'm not saying that Michael Cole came up with this line. Maybe he was fed it. But he had this ridiculous line on Raw where he said, some people think that the Lucha Dragons are the favorites going into the tag team match on Sunday. Who are these people? Who are these people?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's good.
Are they voting for Trump? Okay.
Wow. Wow, that's a low blow.
Right in the tater tots. Kevin Owens against Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship.
Kevin Owens.
I'm going to say KO. I feel bad for Ambrose. He's like the... Why aren't they doing anything more Dean Ambrose? I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this match. I think this is going to probably be the best match on the show. But, man, they're not doing anything with that guy right now.
Nope.
And then Sheamus against Roman Reigns, TLC match for the World Championship. I'm going to say Sheamus wins with some help from the League of Nations.
Okay. That could be a thing.
Roman's friends aren't as helpful as Sheamus's are.
Mm. So run that by me again.
I think Sheamus is going to get some help from the League of Nations, mm-hmm. and he will beat Roman Reigns to retain the championship.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on Roman Reigns.
I think Roman is going to win the title at the Rumble, and I think Brock Lesnar is going to win the Rumble match itself, and that's going to set up WrestleMania.
Well, there goes the next 3 months of my wrestling interest.
Mm. I'm just warning you right now. Are you going to buy your ticket for WrestleMania right after this? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Some point in the next week.
Yeah. If they add a match to this, I would think Tyler Breeze against Dolph Ziggler gets added.
Right. They've been building that up, and Dolph Ziggler will lose again because apparently WWE has no need for him.
They're ruining my man. That's my man.
Dolph Ziggler. I said Dolph Ziggler, right?
They're ruining Tyler Breeze, though. That's what I'm
saying. They're ruining Dolph Ziggler, too.
Yeah.
They're ruining them both.
And then they could do Rusev against somebody or Ryback against somebody, or maybe they could have another match against one another.
Yeah, and, something like that.
You know, I want to rip out my eyeballs. That wasn't that bad, but...
Wow. Tell us how you really feel, Fritzy.
God, I'm not a Ryback fan. Could we see the Big Show make his triumphant return at TLC? Or will he be... Maybe he'll be the guy that's the dirty American that joins the League of Nations that helps Sheamus defeat Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that could
set up another series of Reigns-Big Show matches on Raw.
Oh, that would be beautiful. I would love it. Let's do it. Maybe what they're going to do is set up a Roman Reigns-Big Show feud leading into WrestleMania.
All they have to do to capitalize on that would be hopeful that Randy Orton gets over his shoulder injury so they can bring him back to feud with John Cena.
I heard he was out for a while.
He's out for a long time because he's got the shoulders messed up. They got to find, bless you. They got to find out if he needs surgery on that, and he probably will, but he's also got a neck problem and he could have surgery for that. So he might be out of action for 12 to 16 months.
Yeah, that's bad. And there starts being a concern about when he's coming back. Will he be back on a full-time schedule at that point? There's a lot of concerns.
Yeah, I think that Randy Orton's going to come back at some point, but if he didn't come back, I don't think anybody should be shocked.
No.
I want to see him come back.
Sure. I like him.
But I'm just wondering about, what's happening here. I mean, he's had the shoulder problem for a long time, and then now he's got the neck problem. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with Randy. So we'll see exactly what happens, and hopefully he can come back. So I hope TLC is a better show. It's got to be. I just hope it's a good wrestling show. Please, please.
Yep. We'll see.
I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll see.
I just keep my fingers crossed in the meantime. So
that's all you can do, man. It's what I do all the time. My fingers are constantly crossed.
Jim Ross is alive, everybody.
That's breaking news. Hit the breaking news music.
Jim Ross, a fledgling play-by-play man in the sport of professional wrestling, is alive.
Do we have any questions about Jim Ross or anything else?
No. Sami Zayn is returning to the ring on Saturday.
Okay. I'll be there.
You will?
Yeah, I'll be there. Right?
If you're going to be in Sheffield, England.
Oh, yeah, sure. That sounds possible. We can take a boat there. Will that get me there?
Should I go by the Performance Center?
I'm a millionaire, man. I got the millions coming. I gave them my $1,000 cashier's check. I mailed it off. Gave them the routing number. Gave them the bank number. Gave them a copy of my social security card. Gave them blood sample. Gave them my birth certificate.
Wow.
I cut off some of my hair and put it in an envelope and glued it shut. So I'm going to be a millionaire once this money comes in. If it's here by Saturday, I will be on a boat, the first boat over to this place, the Sheffield's place.
Across the pond. Yeah, it's kind of far
away. Oh, it's
away.
On the pond. Oh, you could swim across the pond.
Should I be stalking Big Show at the Performance Center since allegedly he's there?
Yes.
He's been working out over there?
Performance Center, Big Show. Big Show's at the Performance Center. That's a good one.
He is at the Performance Center.
The Performance Center and Big Show. I see what you did there.
No, I'm serious. He's over there.
Oh, this is good.
You know who else is there? Our friend Daria Baronato.
Yeah, it seems like you're making up names again.
Well, she was on our video broadcast that we did a couple of months ago.
I can slur a bunch of things. You know who else is there? Barrio Germanardo. See, I just put a bunch of sounds together and it sounds like a real name. I'm just kidding. She was a great guest. That was mean. I really enjoyed having her on the show. Hope she doesn't hear this and hate me for it.
Have you been watching Breaking Ground?
Yes. It was not what I originally thought. Finally, we get a sequel to Breaking Bad. We're going to break crap. Instead, this is about wrestling, not meth. I was very disappointed.
Are you offended by how much screen time they give ZZ?
Yes.
I am too. I'm like, I thought I got this guy out of my life.
God, that's bad.
What the hell is going on here?
What the hell is going on here is right.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, well, thanks everybody for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, find us on iTunes and on Stitcher. Read us, review us. That helps us out a lot. And you can also find us on SoundCloud. And, of course, you can support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, even if it's only $1 a month. That helps us out. And it keeps us a little bit incentivized to keep going. Yep. And right now that's tough because wrestling not that great right now, right. So if you can help us out that way and help us pay some of the bills and allow us to give us the time to continue doing this, because we do have to give up some time to do it. So if you could support us there, that'd be fantastic.
I'll tell you what, if you send me a handmade, I'm at The Real Wiseman on Twitter. So if you send me a $1,000 cashier's check, I'll give you a cut of my winnings.
There you go. That's pretty nice.
Nice, right?
That's very nice of you. So.
And on that note.
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. But thanks for listening to the podcast. And we'll catch up with you later on in the week.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Hey, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.